Rays Radio Network proudly presents This Week in Rays Baseball.
Drilled to center field and deep. Back on it is Eaton. To the track. To the wall. It's gone! Evan Longoria with a two-run home run to straightaway center. And he gives the Rays a 6-4 lead here in the ninth.
Coming up, we'll recap the action from this past week, take a look around Major League Baseball, and sit down for in-depth interviews with the biggest names in the game.
The 2-2 now. Check swing on the slider, strike three. Chris Archer jumps off the mound and bounces his way to the dugout.
Here's your host, Neil Solons.
Good afternoon, happy opening day, and welcome to our special 2016 preview show. Now, most of this program will look at 2016 on and off the field, but first, we take a quick look back at spring training and the memorable trip the Rays made to Cuba. Chris Westmoreland, the Rays director of team travel, handled many of the details on the trip, and I asked Westy what will stick with him.
I think, probably the preparation. Not only the time of preparation, it was actually a couple months preparing for that trip, but I just think the passion that these people have for baseball down there was unique. I mean, beyond my job or any of our jobs, when we got there, we realized it was all worth it.
How much harder was this trip to prepare for than others that you would do regular season or even postseason?
Well, a lot of the things we do during the regular season was very similar, setting up the hotels and buses and trucks and, in the schedule at the field. I think the biggest difference was the number in the party. We had two planes as opposed to one, and 145 in the travel party. We're not used to that. That's more like a postseason World Series type of travel party. So I think that was the biggest difference for me.
How about what you saw there and the things that you will take away in terms of visual type of memories or moments that occurred?
Well, as far as moments go, I think during batting practice game day was pretty intense. I mean, the passion that these people have for the game and the sounds in the stadium that you don't hear in our major league parks. But I think one thing I'm going to take away from it is realizing how good we have it. We look at their facilities and that we look at the players themselves and the situation that they're in there. It's very difficult, and I don't think a lot of them know how difficult they have it there and how spoiled we are on the other side.
I guess you could gain some perspective from one guy who did make the trip, and that's Dairon Verona. How much did it mean to you to be involved and help clear the way for him to be able to do something that no defected Cuban player had ever done, that's play against the Cuban national team?
I'll tell you, that hit me personally because I just remember when I told him the day that I told him that he's cleared. I mean, his eyes welled up with tears. The excitement was outstanding. But with MLB International, the combination of them and Players Association, and obviously the Rays putting us all together and getting it going for him, it was a project. It was a project, but all the work put into it by all those parties, you forget about it when you see how happy he was there.
You had so much to do during the course of the trip. Did you get much chance to actually see Cuba outside of the ballpark? And if so, what did you see?
Actually, I had more time when I went down for the site visit 5 weeks ago to look around Havana. Actually, during this trip, I didn't have much time. But just the normal routine of going in and out of the hotel and to the ballpark, and just that experience alone was enough.
That's Rays Director of Team Travel, Chris Westmoreland, and we appreciate all he did to make this memorable trip happen. Next up, we'll look at what's new at Tropicana Field. You're listening to our This Week in Rays Baseball preview show on the Rays Baseball Network. Welcome back to This Week in Rays Baseball. I'm Neil Solons. There are plenty of great new food and drink additions to Tropicana Field this season, including Two-Seam Blonde Ale, a new craft beer. It's a partnership between the Rays and nearby Green Bench Brewing. I spoke with owners Nathan Stonecipher and Stephen Duffy about how this project came about.
It's probably over a year ago now. The Rays had a few small events at our brewery, and we just had outstanding conversations with them over the past 12 to 18 months. And we talked about how fun it would be to make a beer exclusively for the stadium made right across the street and what that might look like. And over time, the idea evolved and got firmed up a bit, and here we are.
It's going to be located in 30 locations throughout Tropicana Field, so people have a chance to try it. but as this is opening day and they haven't already, why don't you give us an idea as to kind of what flavor you were looking for in terms of the beer and what people are going to taste?
Sure. It's, you know, we wanted to make something that was approachable for everyone in the stadium, and we wanted to make something that people could enjoy more than one of while they were at the game. So what we came up with was a low-alcohol blonde ale that's still very complex, which is what we pride ourselves in. Super clean beer, high quality. You're going to get just a hint of citrus flavor from some of the hops that we use, and you're going to get a crisp kind of biscuit note from the malts that we use. And we think it's really a beer that I think anyone who comes to a Rays game will enjoy, and we hope that maybe it introduces new people to craft beer as well.
Maybe it's a good idea, Steve, for you to mention how the process is in trying to create one and how many drafts it sort of goes through before you find, hey, this is what it's going to be.
Yeah, you know, we go through a process of not only what the Rays are interested in having in the stadium, but what our capabilities and what we're good at and our strengths are. So, you know, the first time we made this beer was, you know, in an effort to create something very approachable for our local patrons that come to the brewery. And so as we go through different rounds or, I guess, different batches of the beer, we get to a point where we prefer it and where we like it. And that's where the Rays came in and said, you know, we really like this beer. Let's kind of go in this direction with it. We want to be able to, you know, serve it throughout the stadium. So it's not just going to be something that's just a specialty located in one spot. This is something for everyone. So we went through and made sure that our recipe we could reproduce it as well as maximize the flavors that we wanted to have perceived by everyone that tries it.
What does it mean to be involved then with the Rays, and how does this also benefit Green Bench Brewing?
For us, it's great. You know, this is a way for us to get our brand, our name, our beer that we put all of our blood, sweat, and tears into in front of a larger group of people, many of whom may have never heard of us, even though we've been around for 2.5 years now. You know, for the Rays, I think it helps them connect a bit more with what we're doing here locally and with the community. And, you know, the Rays pride themselves in putting a quality team on the field every single year. And the thing Green Bench does, I think, the best is making a quality product, you know, of craft beer, something that we can all be proud of and something that's very difficult to do. We never take the easy route.
Was it hard to come up with a name, or how'd you settle on Two Seam Blonde Ale?
We let the Rays settle on that name. We really wanted them to have ownership of this and, you know, have a say in a lot of it, including the recipe formulation, what their favorite beer was that we came up with, and that's including the branding and the name. It's their exclusive beer, and we wanted to make sure they felt like partners in this with us.
That's Nathan Stonecipher and Stephen Duffy of Green Bench Brewing. You can find Two Seam Blonde Ale in 30 locations throughout Tropicana Field, including the new Republic Bank Draft Room. And joining us now, Chief Business Officer Jeff Kogan. And Jeff, this new club certainly will be beneficial for a lot of reasons.
Yes, we added this club, the Republic Bank Draft Room, this year, primarily as part of a vision and a goal to add more value to being a Rays season ticket holder. Around us is this world-class club. We knocked out the glass. We brought the feel of the stadium inside the club. We have specialty sandwiches. Of course, we feature Two Seam Blonde Ale, and hence the double entendre of draft. I mean, just when you walk in the room, it's got this insider baseball feel, like you're sitting across the table from Matt Silverman debating the pitcher from Ohio versus the position player from Massachusetts and who to draft. While you're enjoying a two-seam blonde ale.
It's amazing transformation, what's been done in just a few short months. And you mentioned it's for season ticket holders. And the Rays, specifically, you have kind of modeled this new Rays Rewards program that's going to benefit them too.
Well, we instituted, we instituted another initiative, again, exclusively for season ticket holders. That just kind of rolls off my tongue, doesn't it? But And it's modeled after, let's call it, you know, one of the airlines or the hotel rewards programs. And basically the way it works is season ticket holders get points. You accumulate points as a season ticket holder. It starts with your season ticket purchase, and we give you points for buying season tickets. But if you scan your ticket on a Monday night, that may be an extra 100 points. And if you scan your ticket on a Saturday night, that may be 25 points. And as you know, the Rays are committed to community. We raise up to community. It's part of our DNA. So if we're building a Habitat House, we can go out to our season ticket base and say, come join us. Grab a hammer and come join us. And by the way, we'll give you 100 points. So there's the accumulation of points side of this. But then here's the really cool part is season ticket holders get to redeem these points for things they could otherwise buy. They're going to get them for free, like food and beverage vouchers, or I think more importantly, things you can't buy. So you have a nephew coming to visit you and you're a season ticket holder and you want to take that nephew on the field. Well, you can redeem your points for BP passes or that hard-to-get autograph or that hard-to-get meet-and-greet exclusively for season ticket holders, kind of a commerce devoted just for seasons.
Which is great, and it's certainly a major step forward for them, and hopefully more people are going to jump on board with the season ticket plan. But you also have great values for people who aren't going to come as frequently during the week.
Well, we want to run in parallel adding value to being a season ticket holder. So those two examples, the Republic Bank Draft Room and the Rays Rewards Program, are probably the most significant additions this year for the season ticket holders. But it's also important to us to introduce new fans to our game. You know, the Rays have been here 19 years. And the 16-year-old that was coming 19 years ago, who may have been a Yankees fan, he's probably still, you know, a little Yankees fan, a lot of Rays fan, or he splits it 50-50. But my point is that that guy who was 16-year-old 19 years ago is now having children of their own. And so it was important to us to introduce this new generation of fans to our great game, not, you know, Major League Baseball, but specifically Tampa Bay Rays style. And so what we've done is we've created a promotion every night. Monday, we honored the military with a Military Monday. Tuesday, kids can get in for $2 with the purchase of a full-price paid adult. Wednesday, and I want to say this slowly so people don't think we're joking, hot dogs are only $2, $2 hot dogs. And a lot of those Wednesdays are getaway days, so we're offering a lunchtime special, if you will, which will go great with that two-seam blonde ale. Thursday is senior specials. Seniors can get in for $15. And then Friday is the same thing except for students. So one size doesn't fit all. We're trying to appeal to everybody, bring more people to the games, know who they are, grow them into season ticket holders, and then when they're a season ticket holder, lavish them with value.
Great stuff from Chief Business Officer Jeff Kogan. Coming up, we'll preview the season on the field. You're listening to This Week in Rays Baseball on the Rays Baseball Network. Welcome back to This Week in Rays Baseball. I'm Neil Solons. On the field, there's more stability at the top after a 2015 with lots of changes. I asked President of Baseball Operations Matt Silverman how different things feel now than a year ago.
It feels a lot more comfortable for the entire department and for the team. The clubhouse, we know each other. We've had a year together. We had a spring training of just getting ready for baseball. And so, we're ready for the season and feel good about the club.
You mentioned you feel good about the club. What do you feel better about this club than at this time a year ago?
Well, we have health in their starting pitching rotation, and that makes a big difference. Knowing that we're going to be able to start with a healthy Matt Moore, a healthy Drew Smyly. We got Chris Archer, Jake Odorizzi, and then Erasmo Ramirez, who's going to be a real weapon for us, especially in this first month out of the rotation potentially. That health is paramount. And then some new offensive faces, some hitters, maybe score a few more runs without sacrificing too much on the defensive side. Just potentially a better balanced club.
You brought up the without sacrificing the defense. The average fan obviously looks at the changes that were made and wonders about the team defensively. What makes you confident about this group that they'll defend as well as they've done in the past?
Well, we have a lot of the same players returning, and I think, you know, Brad Miller is someone who, given the chance to play shortstop every day, is going to demonstrate that he is a good defender. He may not be a great defender, but those are really hard to come by. His bat is very hard to come by, and so we really like the total package there. At first base, with Pierce and Morrison playing there, I think you're going to see different strengths than we may have seen with James Loney, but the overall package, again, is very strong defensively. And our outfield is pretty similar to what it's been. You add a healthy Desmond Jennings to the mix and feel really good about that.
And how about the catching situation?
Renee was a very good defensive catcher and certainly has the arm as a weapon. Hank Conger brings a different set of skills. He's a very good receiver. He's a good blocker. He calls a good game. His arm isn't what Renee's is, but again, there's just differences there. And Casale coming in, making the team, getting ready to prepare for the season with a clear mind. I think he's going to be the consistent catcher that we've had. It's a different look, some different strengths, some different weaknesses, but overall we still expect to play a very high level of defense.
Well, your pitching staff in spring training put a great emphasis on controlling the running game. How much can that help if they actually go out and execute in that area to make it easier on the catchers?
Yeah, I mean, we focus so much on the catcher's stats on how many runners they throw out, but so much of it is on the pitcher. And our guys have really focused on it, not because of the change in personnel, but just because it's a good thing to do. Guys have worked on their move. We've seen actually a couple pickoffs this spring, just varying their sets, making sure that they keep the runners off balance. Those things can go a long way and can prevent the number of steals, on the stat book.
And from an offensive standpoint, you mentioned the lineup. It would appear to have a little more balance, a little more thickness. Where do you think it's going to be that much better than it was a year ago?
I just look at some of the guys in the opening day roster and where they're hitting. Some of these guys were hitting near the top of the lineup last year. We have more guys you could say are middle of the lineup bats, and it's going to be a good challenge for Kevin and the coaches to figure out where these guys slot in. Just because they're there on opening day doesn't mean that's where they're going to be. But we can go 7, 8, 9 deep, whereas before we were sort of stretching to find some credible bat.
Matt, from that standpoint, with the depth that you have in the lineup, it's also depth in the bench and depth in the minor leagues. How much deeper do you think you are now than at this time a year ago?
And we've seen a lot of spring games where our second wave came in and it looked like we had a bunch of major league players on the field and guys that a few years ago we would have said, hey, these are great frontline guys for us to have. So we feel really good about the depth there.
Let's take a look forward at the American League East. You look at predictions and everyone's been predicted anywhere from 1 to 5. So if the Rays are to be at the top of the division at the beginning of October, what things happen in a positive way?
Well, health is vital for this club. And if we can keep our starting pitching healthy, if Alex Cobb comes back healthy, that's going to go a long way towards our season. And then figuring out on the bullpen side of things, which guys are going to rise to the occasion. Can Alex Colome be a force there? Can Brad Boxberger come back quickly from his injury, but not too quickly? If we can fortify that bullpen, feel really good about the year.
That's Rays President of Baseball Operations, Matt Silverman. He mentioned pitching. I asked pitching coach Jim Hickey about the staff, beginning with a healthy starting rotation.
Well, I couldn't be happier with where we are right now, first and foremost because of the health that you're talking about, but also the way that the guys are throwing the ball. From the top to the bottom, Chris Archer all the way down through Erasmo Ramirez, speaking of the starting five, Drew Smyly, Matt Moore, Jake Odorizzi, these guys have been on point all spring long, and even in a couple of those cases, where guys like Chris Archer and Matt Moore had been working out at Tropicana Field throughout the course of the winter, they were even on point, weeks before spring training started, almost to the point where it made me a little bit nervous, like we might be peaking too soon, but they've really, really done a great job.
Chris gets the ball today, his second opening day start. He was so good last year and took such a step forward. Where can he improve this year?
The interesting thing is he is now the de facto ace. And, last year he would not have even been the opening day starter, which just speaks to our depth. Where can he go? He can go to the very, very top of the list. He's already at the upper portion of that list, of course. I believe he finished fifth in the Cy Young voting, maybe even a little bit higher. But he can still improve his game. The changeup has come along greatly this spring training. He just threw in an intra-squad game, about 4 or 5 days ago, and the players were raving about it. He faced our own major league hitters for the most part. And if he cleans up his fastball command a little bit, which he's capable of doing, he's going to take that next step.
Matt Moore, it seemed the last month of last year, took a step forward with more strike throwing, and he's done it or did it throughout spring training. What has he done differently that's allowed him to throw more strikes as he comes back from Tommy John?
Well, I think, first of all, he is healthy and he's comfortable. Even though he was considered healthy when he came back that first stint to the major leagues, he probably wasn't all that comfortable. You know, you hadn't faced major league hitters in quite some time, and it just takes a little bit of getting used to. I think what he's done, though, is simplified his approach in that he's just going to try to fill up the strike zone and not be so fine, and also in that he's simplified his delivery a little bit. When he throws from the stretch, he throws a vast majority of the time in what you would consider a slide step, and really it's not even a slide step anymore. It's just simply his delivery, and it simplifies things greatly. And out of the windup itself, he simplified it a little bit as well, even though he still has a lot of moving parts there. It's a very, very fluid type of a delivery. So he's in a good place also. You know, he's healthy physically, he's in a good place mentally, and he's just at that age where, you know, he should be in the prime of his career, and I think we're going to see that.
You certainly have a lot of talent in the bullpen, but it's not maybe as experienced as it's been in the past. With Brad Boxberger out and Jake McGee traded, does that get more of your attention, especially in the early part of the season, than it normally would?
I think when you've got some unknowns down there like we do, it probably gets a little bit more of your attention. I also think that just like in years past, there's people down there right now that you're sitting at home. You're probably not counting on this guy to be a very big part of what we do, but you're going to see guys emerge, you know, just like we have in the past. I would be very surprised if a guy like Eni Romero, for instance, did not provide very, very big and important innings at the beginning of the season as we go with the four-man rotation. You're going to see Erasmo Ramirez down there, and don't be surprised if a couple of days from right now you see Erasmo pitching in the eighth or the ninth inning, you know, or both. Alex Colomé, we know what he's capable of, but I think you'll get a chance to see him shine a little bit more, you know, now that Brad Boxberger is out and there's more opportunity in the ninth inning. You know, we haven't even mentioned, you know, the Farquhars and the Gelts.
That's pitching coach Jim Hickey. The offense can take pressure off the bullpen by scoring more. Hitting coach Derek Shelton feels this is a capable group.
With the guys we've acquired, we're going to have more flexibility in our lineup, and we're also, you know, have more left-handed hitters, so it makes it a little bit easier for us to stagger guys back and forth.
One of the changes, in addition to the additions to the lineup, is Logan Forsyth hitting leadoff. How did that conversation start, and what's your thought on him moving into the leadoff spot after such a productive season a year ago?
Well, I'm excited about it. I mean, we're not asking him to do anything different than what he did when he was hitting, you know, fourth, fifth, or sixth last year. We're asking him to keep the same approach. I think by putting Logan up at the top, it enables us to do some different things, you know, in the middle and at the bottom. And how it came about, it came about kind of organically. We don't do anything just by happenstance. There were multiple people involved in the discussion, and it went back and forth. And then we talked to Logan about it, and we put him in there, you know, midway through spring training, and he's done a really good job up there.
You mentioned the way the lineup is now staggered. It's always been the talk that everything's kind of built around Evan up and down. Is it different now because of all the additions you've made that it's kind of a lineup that isn't necessarily have to be built around Evan?
Well, I think built around Evan means that we relied on him to do everything. So in that regard, no, we're not relying on him to do everything. We're relying on Evan to just be Evan. The lineup is still built around him because he's still, you know, is going to hit in the three hole. He's still, you know, the primary focus of your lineup. But now I think we have different people that are surrounding him that are going to make it a little bit easier transition into how the at-bats go during the game.
Let's touch on one of those guys, Corey Dickerson. How impressed have you been as you've gotten to know this guy in the 6 weeks leading up to opening day?
Very impressed. I mean, I was impressed with Corey from the initial conversation I had with him when we traded for him, and that impression has got nothing but better. I mean, he works hard. He's very disciplined and detailed in his work, and the ball comes off his bat hot. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, a rare case that you're able to trade for a guy like that, but we had to trade a really good pitcher to get him. So, and showing that, you know, he's a good hitter, so I'm excited to have him in our lineup.
With the additions that have been made to this lineup and guys hopefully getting better or staying healthier, like a Desmond Jennings, who we really haven't touched on, what is a story that occurred in spring training that you saw that maybe should be talked about more heading into this opening day?
I don't think really anything. I mean, I think, you know, we had an approach that we talked about, we came in with last year, the last week of July, and we've talked about that in the spring. And sometimes when you add in new guys, it takes a while to get those new guys to adjust the approach, but they didn't. All the new guys, when we talked about it, hit the ground running with it. The old guys were still bought in. So, you know, that was probably I wouldn't say a concern, but it was one of the things I was worrying about coming in, is how we are going to assimilate the new guys into this approach, having not done it with the guys that were here last year, but it was seamless.
That's hitting coach Derek Shelton, and special thanks to Derek, Jim Hickey, Matt Silverman, Jeff Kogan, Chris Westmoreland of the Rays, and the folks at Green Bench Brewing, as well as our producer, Jason Berenger. Don't forget to join us next week for a full one-hour program at noon, and stay tuned next for the pregame show. You're listening to This Week in Rays Baseball on the Rays Baseball Network.
Thank you for listening to This Week in Rays Baseball.
Driven in the air to center field. Kiermaier going back at the wall, jumps up, and makes the catch.
If you missed any of the show, catch it on archive at raysbaseball.com/radio.
Swinging a high fly ball to right field. Back to the wall, and it's gone. Home run. Opposite field homer for Logan Forsythe, and we're all tied.
Keep it right here. The Rays pregame show is next.